Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, all. This is Ben from Watch What Crappens. That's Ronnie from Watch What Crappens. That's Jake and Matt. I don't know why I'm starting it like this, everyone.
I'm going to do Ronnie's face.
That's Matt and Jake from Reality Gaze. Hi, welcome to the Crappens and Reality Gaze crossover event part two. We're recapping A Candy-Coated Christmas, available on Discovery Plus. And in case you missed the first episode, we spent 40 minutes talking about the first 2 minutes. And guess what? There's another 80 minutes. So guess what? You're going to be listening to this until next Christmas, okay?
Yes.
Hi, everyone. How you guys all doing?
Great.
Before we jump in, just wonderful. A reminder, we're all four of us are going to be in New York literally the same weekend. We're doing Crappies on Thursday, the 27th, and you guys are doing two shows. The second one's sold out at Gramercy, which is amazing. So go to Reality.
Literally the same theater, yeah.
Yeah, realitygaze.com.
It's the four of us, the Sex and the City that you wanted.
Yeah. It's the true crossover event is where all four of us are coming. And just like that, we're all in New York City.
And just like that.
Okay. But right now, let's go from New York City to Peppermint Hollow.
Peppermint Hollow. And we're in the bakery of someone named B.
Yeah, B's
Bakery. Who we don't know.
Molly, our heroine, has just arrived from Los Angeles with her big city ways and condescending views of Christmas that she loves but doesn't love. And she's arrived, and now she's walked into B's Bakery.
Can I say, I don't think it's wise to open a restaurant that you just automatically put a B out in front of right at the start.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is a very LA reference.
Marketing.
But yes, we have B's, the classes of the restaurants. With a B, there have been four rats found there.
So a little bleach fell into your food. No big deal.
It's sterilized.
She's looking at the counter, and all of a sudden, like a ghoul, up pops the Pioneer Woman, and I scream because she scared me. And you scared me. Now, Pioneer Woman says things to her like, "Oh my God, it's Christmas. If you're from Los Angeles, Christmas is the best time to be in Peppermint Hollow." And she's like, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to Hawaii after this." "Hawaii? I've heard it's beautiful. I've never left Peppermint Hollow."
I know. And she has this like sad desperation. Like, I've been cursed by a witch to stand behind now, this counter and make granny bots for the rest of my life.
I am so glad you said that. Mine is darker of what happened. I think Bee was murdered in Peppermint Hollow. And we're now seeing her as a ghost, and her job is to make brownie bites. And if you eat one of her brownie bites, you can never leave Peppermint Hollow.
Now that's a movie. Now that is a
that
film.
That is good.
Right there.
You become assimilated. You become assimilated.
That's how they
get
people. You can't leave. So that's
true.
Why.
That's true. We can't give it away the ending.
But yeah. She says no. Molly says no because she's like mint. Nobody likes mint. So she walks away from that, and I'm going to come back to this, y'all. The reason why I say that she's a ghost or a not real person from the other realm and she's trapped there is not just for the wooden acting, but just that she leaves and says to Molly, when Molly's leaving, "She'll be back."
Yeah.
She does. She does get creepy with her.
And for the record, by the way, Molly never goes back to that bakery the rest of the movie. Just so
true.
You know.
Right, yeah. You were wrong, Reebie.
Back to the town.
She actually, I wrote down Westworld robot because she's like very, like she's very non-playing character in her role. Like, okay, so this girl's standing at the counter and then, okay, it just looks like this. She's like, hi. Like she just stands up and she's like, I didn't see you there. You were behind a glass counter. How did you not see you there?
I did not see you there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the glass counter.
Maybe she didn't hear her because there's like, exceedingly excessive, which I guess is part of exceedingly, but just very loud jingle bells playing, not the music, but there's just like these in the background. I'm like, okay, this is going too far. And then B has this obsession with mint, and I know they're in peppermint, you know, peppermint hollow and everything, but she's like, so would you like a peppermint hollow mocha? It's our specialty. She's like, oh no, I'll just have like a latte. She's like, you don't like mint? No, not really. Are you allergic to mint? No. So you just don't like mint? You're just like a crazy city person who doesn't like mint? Is that what you are? It's like, yeah, no, just
she
accept
went on
it.
A crazy.
Except she doesn't want
the way
mint.
Ree Drummond said that, she did say that. I kind of think Poodle is right. Or Jake is right, because she kind of said, you don't like mint? Kind of like a serial killer who, like,
I've been foiled. My plans have been foiled.
She did say it that way.
But you can tell that.
Shit.
You can tell that Ree is actually from California or has been there before because she is like a service person in California. Because when you're like, without this, they're like, are you allergic? Why can't you have it? Okay. Are you? Does it need to be prepared on a separate counter from the mint? Okay. So, does mint travel over to other counters?
They do go in on you. They will ask you, like, if you ask for something, like if you do get a pour over here, they're like, and you say, can I not do it? Why don't you want that? That's how we do things here.
It's
and
true.
They'll go they, in on you.
They did that to my boyfriend last night at fucking Cantor's Deli.
Oh.
What? Cantor's, well, Cantor's is like, yeah. Whatever.
I know. Even that Cantor's Deli, they're like, wait, do you not have milk? And he's like, no, I just want almond milk. And they're like, okay.
Well, and then at one point she's like, well, I'll just have a, I just want like a latte. And then B is like, you want that with mint? I'm just teasing you. And then Molly's like, funny. And then she's like, that'll be $3.99. So Molly gives her some money, goes, keep the change. And you know that Molly only gave her $4. It was just, yeah, like, keep the change.
Yeah, keep penny. This penny.
Yeah, yeah. Take this
but
penny.
But also,
lady.
Like, thank one you. Of the good things about going somewhere like Peppermint Hollow is you're like, oh my God, thank God it's not a Starbucks. I'm going to get a latte for $2. $4? What are you charging
it's,
Starbucks
it's
prices for, B?
Well, it's the
who
specialty.
The fuck do you think you are?
It's the only bakery in town. She rules it like some type of like Bordello Madam. She's there just to take everyone's money.
So then,
besides, yeah. Molly's from California. She's used to being paying that.
But then, yeah. On top of this whole thing, after Molly has said so many times she doesn't want mint, and now she's been stuck having this conversation about how B has like literally never been out of this tiny town in her entire life. I don't even know how she sources her ingredients or finds out about new ideas and concepts. No. But she's never been out of this town. Then B goes, by the way, brownie bite on the house? And Molly's like, bitch, how many times do I have to tell you? I do not want mint. I just want
assault.
A coffee.
It's really borderline assault.
It is. It's
Ree
just cruel. It's really cruel, Ronnie. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
And you see in B's or Bree's eyes, I'll have to find another way.
Yeah. Everyone likes
to
do
her to all eternity. So I can move on once to my resting
she's like,
place.
Ooh, I'm going to have to call my friend Trisha Yearwood.
How many?
I've never left Peppermint Hollow, and neither will you.
And neither
you,
will
you. Mint brownie bite.
How many? How many like marketing meetings do you think there were in like Silver Spring, Maryland, about like vertically integrating those brownie bites into the Food Network? Right, you know that was like, okay, on Food Network magazine, we now have to have a profile on the brownie bites. Okay, and you know they probably had a feature that was like, get the recipe for the brownie bites, just like in the movie. You know they were like, that's why they were pushing those.
But
brownie
we never
bites.
Saw that. I mean, maybe it was on the Food Network, but even at the. You know, this isn't giving at the end of the movie, they show like some outtakes and they don't talk about that.
You know, one thing that we haven't really talked about is the fact that this was the Food Network's first ever Christmas movie. This was a food aired on
yeah,
the Food
it
Network.
Really was. Actually,
and so
yeah.
I actually thought what was going to happen was that there were going to be some sort of like sly recipes. Like I thought there'd be some moments, like little tips kind of like woven through little nods or maybe like the cooking would be more germane to the story.
It but wasn't
it's
at
just
all.
Mint.
They didn't even present it. Look, I know I've already gone off, but they didn't even present this shit well. It's like she handed her a plate of poo-poos, little poo-poos, with some, you know, green mint chips on it. It's like, could you present this a little
they
bit
looked
better?
Ugly.
They
kept it looked
closing
awful.
Up on it. Yeah, it was bad. Like, nothing was uniform. I'm sorry. I wanted to judge it like the bake it.
Yeah.
You know, the baking yeah. or whatever.
So she walks out. She finally extricates herself from this horrific woman behind the counter pushing the yes. mint confections that are not candy coated. And then she goes outside and there are some horrific children who have like no boundaries. And
little juvenile really delinquents.
Little delinquents who've been spoiled and caught all their lives throwing snowballs on a sidewalk, a busy sidewalk, the main stretch. Okay. Like, where is Officer Krupke now?
I know.
I literally yelled, bring him that back. Is assault 10 times during this movie. I mean, I was like, are rules just traveling more slowly to Jupiter or to Peppermint Hollow? Because you can't just throw things at people now, okay? You
we need truant officers.
But, like, also, like, we're supposed to believe, like, this is the real way of life. This is what you really should be doing with your life. I'm like, being with all these unruly children throwing snowballs no. all over the place? No, thank
no.
you.
No, thank you.
No. And so they I understand if they kind of know you. This is a stranger. This is a child throwing a hardened ball of snow at a stranger.
Well, I haven't. Oh, go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
I was just going to say, my mother would have grabbed me by the arm and said, Matthew Stephen Marr, you know better yes. than that. What if
my
I
mother
taught
would
you?
Have banged yes. me upside the head with the wooden spoon she carried around in her purse.
But how do you even respond to being hit with a snowball in the face by a strange child?
Well,
you
she hit luckily, them. She, was she, luckily hit. She wasn't hit. Poodle, actually.
Because yes. we've got more on. Assault. We've got because more assault.
Someone okay. like a like in a plane with like, lost puppies needing a home just flies in and rescues her.
It's like Kevin Costner. If Kevin Costner, I think actually Kevin Costner is a pilot.
He is a pilot. Yeah,
I'm sure he is.
Well,
they're
Kevin
all
Costner
pilots.
Were a model. And he was rescuing dogs with his pilot's license.
But they don't really rescue. He doesn't really rescue her. He attacks her. I'm telling you, this
he
whole
knocks
movie
her
was
down.
Assault.
He's like
okay?
a
he not. He's like.
It's also kind of like down. Condescending because, like, as obnoxious as it would be for those kids to like actually hit her with a snowball, she ultimately would have been fine. She would have been like, actually, she would have liked it. She'd been like, everything I thought about this place was true, and she would have been fine. But said this guy just assumes he's needed, and he jumps in and he spills that fucking coffee that she spent. 30 minutes trying to order from the crazy lady behind the corner.
Yes.
At the counter.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he's like, hey. And she's just laying there looking up because that's like her running yeah. joke. Like, she's
how
like,
about
what
an apology?
Fell again. Yeah, a I'm rich like, person on the ground. So that's her thing.
There's all it's this like falling. You're... Like, she told someone, she's like, hey, I want to be the next Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. Just, she told her dad.
Me falling. I'm aiming for the reboot of Miss Congeniality. Put that in there for me, please.
And where are the snow angels? You think that eventually yeah. she's going to say, wait a second, I can make a snow angel. She doesn't do that. She yeah. just falls.
Oh, yes.
So, and Ronnie,
so
you were saying.
He tackles her. And she's like, Jesus, you're like mint in human form. Get off of me. And he's like,
get out of me.
He's like, are you kidding? I just saved your life.
Where's my apology?
He yeah. sounds like he's so much entitlement. Like, he literally, we talked in the last episode about Frosty the Snowman and the entitlement that he has. He's like, look, I saved you. Now you do something for me, right? And now
exactly.
it's like this guy is like, she would have been fine. She would have been annoyed, but she would have been fine. But now he does it, and now he expects like a fucking date out of it.
I'm a guy. I have to save. If something goes down the street, I have to save you. That's just
now,
it.
I mean, I will say, y'all, if you didn't watch the movie, I did immediately press pause on my Discovery Plus, and this is when I went into a deep, deep Instagram dive of Erin O'Connell because yeah. he is hotter than shit on a stick. I mean, he is a beautiful man.
I think he's hot, but to me, I was kind of like, his styling was just like, he didn't look great in the movie.
I felt like I was.
He's got great hair and great
super,
lips.
He is like super, super hot, and I felt like the movie could have, like, did not. Really present him as hotly as they could have. Like, we know, yeah. Matt and I know how hot he is and how
yes.
hot he can be.
Was
no,
he
I
ever,
looked him up too.
Was he ever shirtless once?
Thank you.
Was he even in a cut-off shirt?
Like, or at least, like show a little bit of, like, get in, like, some long pajamas with a little bit of cleave showing.
Yeah.
None of that.
Cleave.
So that being said, despite all my frustration about, like, the entitlement that he comes in, if the super hot guy just like threw himself on me and spilled my coffee, I'd be like, excuse me. And I'd just come out with like a tower of coffee, be like, does anyone have to throw another snowball at me? Please.
Please. I just can't get one of those big things at Starbucks. The big.
I just can't with this
guy. No, that's now, Ronnie. Why would you choose that photo?
I'm not saying I don't think he's Ronnie. You're doing him dirty. Of course, handsome. But of course, it's like this is the guy who's like, it's my guitar, everybody.
Well, he's a model.
Yeah, I came over for a dinner.
Once
you cooked,
I can pick her up, I can put her down.
He puts his plane on autopilot and he plays for the lost puppies as he flies them across country to new homes. That's it.
He, you know, he does look better in other photos, but they also couldn't. The styling, you couldn't even see what his body looked like. He was all frumpy and sweaters.
I mean, no, he's very fit. I mean, I will say, as Poodle's used, Poodle has a gift about things with certain men, and I think, well.
It's a pretty nice penis. I can just tell you, just by seeing the
guess, like, how good the penis is?
Yeah. Poodle has a gift.
I can't always tell you the length or girth, but I can tell you the general attractiveness level sometimes.
I would like to contribute a photo.
I don't see anything.
I'm not happy with Ronnie's selection here. Okay.
Thank you, Ben.
May I take this over, Ronnie? May I take over the screen?
Yeah,
And that's where if any of our listeners are like, our reality gays, they're just like Crappens, but they talk about 90 Day Fiance and other. And then they went, Crappens doesn't talk about men's penis girth. So that's a little bit of a difference.
We're a little more innocent in that regard. But it is like hanging out with you.
I forgot how to actually add stuff onto this. Ronnie, did you just do share? Is that what you did?
Yeah, go down to share and then push.
I like
push
this is
window.
Now a tutorial.
It'd be like when one of our listeners sent me an Instagram message. He said, Ronnie mentioned you on the show today. And I said, what'd he say? He said, well, they were talking about a sausage. And he said, if this were the reality, they'd be totally talking about dicks right now.
Oh, that's a big old dick. That
now
is
here.
Thank you, Ben.
I'm sorry. I just had to put up a proper photo of what.
That's totally like Abercrombie catalog. Total. 2008.
100%.
This is Sean Cody 2004.
Oh, the glory days.
We welcome all
what
of Aaron
we lost.
O'Connell and
everything. The paradise
form.
Lost.
And I will say, as I mentioned the last episode, I did see him at a wedding, and I can assure you that in person, just gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
And he's not too pretty.
I think his hair looked really good this movie. I thought his hair always looked good. But he probably didn't fix it himself.
He's aging into young Josh Brolin.
I'm sick of hot guys just getting everything. It's like everyone's like, "Oh, he's hot. Who cares? Okay, he's going to be ugly soon."
Agreed.
That's the fun part when you're like released from their power. That's the best part.
And exactly, I love it, Ronnie, that you're so terrible like me.
But I
yeah, why
just,
not?
I mean, really, so vile.
Y'all are way more like. And I'm telling you, about how he just really isn't even like, he's supposed to be this nice guy from a small town, but he really
isn't
apologetic to her about running into her. He's like, yeah, so what? I saved your life. Get used to it. Love mint.
He's not even apologetic. He demands an apology, actually.
Yeah.
He says, you owe me an apology, which I'm like, excuse me, you're the one who actually volunteered to insert yourself into this situation.
It's like he saves people to get an apology from them. That's his whole goal in life. People say, thank you so much. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry I did that. Thank you. You're welcome. I appreciate your apology.
He'll push you out in front of the bus just to grab your sweater and pull you back and be like, oh, my God, you almost got hit by that bus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I play the guitar. Want to hear it?
So he
hold me closer, Tiny Dancer.
Shut up, hot person.
Dogs.
So he introduces himself. His name is Noah. Very biblical.
Because of course it is
very biblical. Yeah, and I will say, I've never met a not hot Noah.
Agree.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I definitely have. I'm just over here like, grr.
Maybe the original Noah.
Maybe the original, yeah.
Original Noah's probably
shave
not that
the
hot.
Beard. He was still hot. I can be. He was hot at 300.
But he smelled because he lived with like 90 animals. You know?
Yeah.
You know, but I'm sure he loved a good DP because he's always up for two.
Jesus, even I think that was clumsy.
Why is it that when we get to the Bible, you get like that? Like anything else, it's, you're fine.
It's the recovering Catholic in me. It's the recovering Catholic.
Yeah, director of photography.
Yeah, yeah,
he loves you were a Catholic? Weren't you a Baptist?
No, Catholic. You know, I was raised Catholic.
Wow. It's weird. It seems like he should be that, like, Jesus fucking.
I almost
like,
became a priest.
Crazy youth pastor, but he's not.
I still love Jesus and all that, too. So I just, you know, I just feel like.
I could see you as a priest.
Sure. Yeah.
Because you're like a therapist and stuff. You do all the good stuff. Yeah. Gay people can be priests. I mean, I know plenty of them.
But they can't go to heaven.
Yeah. You just can't act on it.
If you can't go to heaven, at least go to Bee's Bakery, right?
Exactly.
So
if you're going to be gay, just do it inside here. Use your inside gay.
Sorry,
inside
okay. Into same-sex inside. Attraction.
Sorry, y'all. We're now just on minute four.
So now the point is this. He's like, you owe me an apology. No, you owe me an apology. Agree to disagree. I'm Noah. Can I take you out or something? Like, she's just like actually a little too much for just a snowball situation. And of course, if I were her, I'd be like, yes, of course we're going out. You're hot as fuck. But instead she's like, I have to run because I'm a city person who hates Christmas. Okay. And I'm going to sell a person's house who is probably not in this conversation. Okay.
Yeah, so she's walking down.
She's like,
the
I'm never going to see him again.
Thank God.
Ever. Which we all know, when there's only two good-looking people of the same age in the town, they always run into each other again.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's walking down the sidewalk in her terrible outfit and her cheap purse and a cream sweater. And she goes to this closed place, and she's calling it. She's like, Patrick, I have an appointment at 11-ish. I have a property I wanted to sell right away, so if you just call me. I'm going to text him. I'm going to email him. I'm going to call him again. Where are these small town work? Lady, you're trying to sell a house on goddamn Christmas.
Yeah.
Which was it Christmas Eve?
But it's also
someone
this like.
Someone open my door.
But it's also this narrative like city people with their schedules and their business not paying attention to important things in life, like going to the local store and buying milk out of a jar.
City people with their showing up on time.
They don't care about. They don't care about. People being people and needing a break.
I'm sorry. I have to separate from the pack here because I just went to a Christmas thing last week. There's hundreds of people out there. We're in this little tiny town. My mom just wants to go to this one store. You get to the store, be back. Well, what the fuck does that mean? There's hundreds of people. Are you closed? Be back. So. You know, it's like that's a little town thing. Well, it's just like, well, I'm going to go to lunch, and I ain't going to tell you what fucking time I'm coming back. How about that?
That is true. But I actually feel like, especially in California, no one ever is on time. Like, no one's on time in L.A., no. I don't think. So I think they would be it wouldn't be a big deal, but whatever.
I just know that anyone who sells a house is the thirstiest person alive, and they're going to want to be there.
Yeah.
They're going to
be, yeah. What bothered me is that, like, later on, Patrick is super aggressive about, like, meeting up. And I'm like, sir, you missed the first appointment. You established the pacing of this relationship. So don't get all huffy when she's not ready to see you. Okay?
And that's more normal for a real estate person.
We're going to have a gay realtor. Please. That's it. We're going to have a gay realtor, right?
Nope.
No. Well, he may have been.
No, there are no gay people. There are no gay people in this town.
He just may have been a bit more masked.
I know.
So
we even mentioned people of a Jewish faith later, and it's extremely poo-pooed very quickly.
Very, very quickly.
Ain't no Jews in Peppermint Hollow.
Yeah, we've already established there's no carbs. She's already y'all. She's mentioned she doesn't eat. She already told us to know that she doesn't eat carbs and like ever. Because that's what Californians
that's
don't
what
do.
That's what girls do.
That's what girls do.
Girls don't understand the real meaning in life, okay? The real meaning of like what it means to live and be in America. You know, they don't eat carbs, you know? They're fancy.
I don't even remember how she gets to his house. Like, I was still in a daze spinning from what was happening.
She's driving
a rental car. She got a rental car from the big city.
Oh, yeah, because she lost the keys.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She could have bought a coat at the airport.
I didn't like this whole idea. That she was like, no, she's going to have like this strident, independent spirit when it comes to like her body temperature.
There's a great quote about that later.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but That all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or is it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify.
With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself. Never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Okay, so let's go back in. So now we get the Christmas song. Christmas! Christmas! The worst.
It's like,
but it's a different one. You know,
Christmas.
Yeah. Christmas. So, God, man, I just keep writing terrible outfit and assault. So her shoes don't fit either, which we learned in this. So Molly gets to this house and the teenager answers. Dakota, we find out later, but okay. Dakota answers and she's like, are your parents here? And she's like, they died when I was a teenager, baby.
What?
That's no boundaries. That was her, another what for me.
That's her first line of dialogue.
To
that's
a stranger.
I'm just calling her orphan girl. I don't even remember her name.
I need to say this, and I have this is another theory. She's a ghost. Do you feel like this role was written for a 10-year-old girl and yes. This is what they got? I think so.
Because this girl she was a little too attached to like the family for
being whatever. Well, she says things like, I made a lip balm and like, or she's a slow 18-year-old.
She's just like really emo and annoying about it. Like, yeah, my parents died, you know? It's like, I'm going to write something for like, I'm going to write a poem, you know?
And she talks about her piggy bank later. And it is weird.
I was like, wow, you're the only person in this movie who saves money.
But it's like, I don't know. I could not. If you told me this girl was 13, okay. If she told me she was 22, I'd kind of believe it either way. It was weird. She didn't have an age.
The fact that she led with, my parents died when I was a baby. That's a real... Unless she's just so fucking sick of telling it. She's just like, I just got to get out of the way. Just do the shock effect and just see what they do. You know?
They died when I was a baby.
But nobody really cares.
And I live with my uncle and my grandma. Okay, great.
But when people ask you that, they don't care. Like, they don't want to know. It's like when you say, how are you to a stranger? I don't really care. I'm just saying like, hi. It's my way of saying hi, you know?
Yeah.
Save your history, lady, all right? I haven't even had a mint brownie bite.
So then
I care about this?
We hear a booming, sexy voice say, who is it, Dakota? And then guess who steps in?
Hottie McHot.
It's Noah. He's made it home.
It's Noah.
Noah is there.
With his mouth open, of course. He's
care
like,
to apologize?
You know, he does have his mouth. I will say, he does have his mouth open a lot, right?
Yeah.
He's like, wow, look. He's like, look. I saved that girl in town.
He's a mouth actor. You did not. He is an exasperated mouth actor. He does a lot of.
Yeah. Mouth actor. So she's like, oh my God, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, killing her parents. What are you doing here? And she's like, I thought I'd get a tour, I guess. And he's like, we don't give tours of our house. And she's like, not even to the owners.
And he's like, what? And he goes, well, the Gallants own the property. Because he's very slow. He doesn't like pick it up. He doesn't pick up like no. that. She just said that she's the owner. He's like, well, guess what? The Gallants own it. And the Gallants have a daughter named Molly who's blonde and about your height and looks like you in the pictures. So that's who I'd give the tour to.
Again, I'm going to ask for ID. Like, he didn't even ask for that. I yeah. would have.
Well, he's still trying to get that date. You know, it's sort of an awkward move if you ask for ID before you can get to the date.
His mom comes up behind them, Kim, and says, "Oh," and the thing is, you guys, they know that the owner of the house is there. So put two and two together, or one and one if you're that slow.
Yes,
you know someone's, and especially if you've been behind on the rent, if the first thing that you say isn't, "We'll get you the rent, we promise, slumlord." Yeah. But yeah. no one, and then, so he's so stupid, he doesn't get it. Mom, I think, gets it immediately, because she's like, "You're the spitting image of your," this woman should have been cast with an Irish accent. "You're the spitting image of your mother." Because she's that style of a character.
I'm going to play the sentimental card and make sure this girl does not collect
exactly.
that rent.
Exactly. I don't want to get kicked out on Christmas.
And besides besides the pioneer woman, I forget her name, but this is Kim. The most famous woman in actor in this movie.
She's been in all kinds of stuff. Lee Garlington is her name.
I'm looking. She's been in a lot, but she's a soap actress, right?
She was good, actually.
She
was good.
This woman lied to me because when I got into SAG, I went to my SAG meeting and she was the SAG representative.
She told me
that if I kept being an actor all of my life, I would get this wonderful pension. We'd be able to quit our day jobs. You just have to commit to the union. Commit to the union. I just got a check from Modern Family for 39 fucking cents and I don't have a pension.
Wow.
This woman is a crook.
She was scab at you.
Wow. Well, look, I'm going through her IMDb now and she was in a two-parter episode of Medium, which is one of my all-time favorite shows.
She's done a lot. She's a great character actor.
She was actually very good.
She was the best thing in it.
I actually really enjoyed her. She sort of gave me a Mercedes Rule energy. Yeah. So she's like being all like, "Oh my God, I remember when you were a kid. Don't evict us. I remember your mom. I remember your mom."
You're right. She totally knew from the get-go.
And then she kind of like shades her. I felt like this was shade. She was like, "You look like you're dressed for Hawaii."
Hawaii? We don't know about Hawaii.
What is this state that's not attached to the 48? What is this?
Yeah. You look like you're dressed like you're going to go to a Big Lot sale to work in Hawaii. Okay.
Yes.
And Molly's like, "Well, that's where I'm headed after this, to Hawaii." And Kim's like, "Oh, you're serious? Well, let's get you some boots or something if we're going to take a tour." And she's like, "Boots? I don't need boots. I love falling down. It's my thing. Should I do it right now?"
And Noah's like, "Be careful on those steps because you're just a silly lady who doesn't understand stairs and shoes." And she's like, "What? I'm a lady from Los Angeles. I know it all." And then she falls over. And then is in the snow again.
She goes,
yeah.
She also announces, like, you knew that was going to happen.
And he's like, "No, I didn't." Yeah. He knew when they told you to put on some goddamn boots.
He did. It's called Ice Lady. By the way, she announces that she's going to Hawaii so many times. Like, you know, so she's not. She's like, "I'm definitely going to Hawaii tomorrow. I can't wait."
Yeah.
They really tee that one up.
Pretty clear. I also just want to, I'm going to talk about this probably a lot, but I just want to say, who from Home Goods decorated this house? Because holy fuck.
It's out of control.
It is bad.
I want to know who's cleaning it, because this house does not look clean. I mean, I could smell cat pee. I could smell the cat pee, and there's not even a cat.
Yeah.
It's just one of those houses, dust mites.
You know?
Yeah.
Also,
like, you're behind on your rent and you're clearly still going out and buying new decorations.
Thank you.
It's like, hello.
Yeah, that's like, thank you.
Sell no your Sub-Zero good with fridge money. Or something. I mean, what's
someone's Discover card is maxed.
Like,
you guys, literally all they do in this movie is spend money family.
Yeah,
like every time you see them,
yes,
they're dropping money.
They've got $300 left on their Diners Club and that's fucking it.
Also, I mean, it is every single inch of this house is decorated. I'm like, and you know what? That costs money. You're behind your rent. You don't have to decorate the room that no one's sleeping in.
When people decorate their toilets in their bathroom. I love Christmas, but that freaks me out.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I want one of those toilet lights you put in there, and it's like turns colors. I'm getting one of those.
But like, you'd think
on Facebook.
Noah can install it for you.
Hot cocoa is a luxury.
Yeah, it is a luxury.
And it looks like she's like, I made this purely, and we're going to make cookies and blah, blah, blah. They're cooking bacon in the next scene.
Girl, they have 5-course breakfast with a whole ham.
Yeah. And they're so poor.
A whole ham. And that's not, they're not leaving anything. I mean, they're not eating that all. Where is that going to go? They keep cooking. It's like your leftovers. Save your money. Clip a coupon. Come on.
Okay, so for this tour, he takes her to his greenhouse. Yeah. This is such a fucking guy thing to do. She's like, wow, can I see this house that, you know, no, I kind of grew up in, my dead mom spent all this time in? And they're like, oh, yeah, you can get a tour of the greenhouse.
I know, it's like, and you think, like, for a moment, you're like, oh, wow, now this is getting interesting. It's like, it's pot, like an entire, like, greenhouse of pot.
That would be a great movie.
But it's just
like, you want to watch me play football on the PlayStation?
Yeah, and then he's like so proud. He's like, oh, look at all this mint I've grown. You know what they say about mint? It grows like a weed. Everyone always says, don't plant mint with the other things because it takes over. So congratulations,
they're acting like
the
mint.
Thing.
You grew the easiest
like...
thing, yes.
Also, no wonder you have a surplus of it.
And you're not selling it. You're just basically killing mint right now you're doing. It's like a mint slaughterhouse.
And he explained a greenhouse. It's like, you know,
thank you.
The greenhouse, not sure if you're aware, but the greenhouse is 30 degrees warmer than the outside cold. She responds with the strangest statement. I can't believe this was written by an actual person and not a computer that spit out. She's like, huh. I wish I was 30 degrees warmer than the outside cold.
You'd be dead.
It was such a weird. It's like, you know how you see a movie or you read a script and you're like, I wish they talked like people.
They
don't talk like people in
this.
It's
like,
script,
I mean, this
movie.
Is, well, there's another part where she's on the, watch, I'll talk, but I'll point that out. Yeah.
But why is he telling her, did someone executive read the script and say, I'm afraid someone's going to watch this movie and wonder why those plants are alive in the middle of winter. So can we explain why they're growing?
I think you're right. But you know what I did? I'm one of those people. I was like, wait a minute. What's happening here? It's winter. How is this working?
How does this grow? I liked it when Frosty died in that greenhouse.
I like that I'm the real life sample for all the stupidity in this movie.
I was hoping he'd be like, oh, I wish I weren't dressed so warmly in this hot greenhouse. Then, you know, shirt comes off. I was like, okay, we can set up for that. Doesn't happen.
Right. So he's like, don't worry, you get used to it. She's like, uh-uh, 70. That's what I like because I'm from LA. Hope that mint doesn't have any gluten in it.
Oh, fuck it. Yeah, he also makes, every time they talk about it, she digs mint, his go-to is a kale joke. There's like
that
five
was
kale jokes
years.
In this movie.
This is 10 years behind. Kale.
I know. Yeah. Oh. So she goes, she who's like apparently never encountered mint, goes, that mint smells so minty. And he goes, yeah, well, when you smell mint, your brain releases mood-determining hormones into the body. It's a natural relaxer. It's like, thanks, sir.
Yeah,
we don't
brought
need
to you
know
by the mint advisory board.
Yeah, the mint lobby
know,
of
just
DC.
Like pee starts trickling down her legs. He's like, you'll get used to it. just saliva's coming down. Like, okay. All her muscles are going down.
That warmth is good. You'll get used to the pee. You'll get used to it.
So the teenager comes in and she's like, hi, not my mother because you're living. Gran wants you to stay for dinner. And she's like, gross, dinner, ew,
I don't have carbs.
And then, what is it, a mint roast?
And then and Noah leads with, she makes the best mashed potatoes you've ever eaten. Now, look, I love mashed potatoes, but like, there's sort of like an asymptotic, like, level. Like, it can only get so far.
What's an asymptotic?
Asymptote is like something that you approach but you can never quite get to. But like, the point is, there's like an upper...
I didn't know either.
I was
sorry,
with you,
I thought with all this smart talk about greenhouses and natural relaxers, we could talk scientific.
I used that, I used that word in a paper once.
But either way, I feel like if someone said to me it's the best mashed potatoes, I'd be like, I don't know if I'm going to stay for dinner for that. Like if someone said the most amazing turkey or whatever, maybe.
Fried chicken, or like there was.
A beef bouillabaisse. But it's just the most basic thing.
She just goes to the most.
Yeah, mashed potatoes.
And then she goes, oh, I'm staying away from carbs, which I think is actually a very reasonable response. A little rude to say to people who are inviting you over. But then she says, I'm staying away from carbs. And Dakota says she also made apple pie for dessert. What part of I'm staying away from carbs says let me add apple pie to the mix?
It's got fruit in it.
It's fruit.
It's healthy.
I go back to say that Dakota may be a little slow.
And then so Molly's like, I'm cutting down on sugar.
I'm cutting down on sugar too. And so Noah's like, she can make some quinoa.
I'll run it to kale and water.
Like, these are leftover jokes from a Jeff Foxworthy routine 15 years ago.
Yes, it's true.
It's about kale and quinoa.
Like, also, at what point do you have to like read between the lines and say she's just trying to be polite and say I have no interest in eating with you strangers?
Also, I have like a general thing of going to people's for dinner. I hate when people make me come over and eat. I just don't like that. Like, do you want to come over and drink? Sure. But do you want to come over for dinner? No, you can't cook, fucker. Everybody knows you can't cook. And now I have to sit there and pretend that you know you can cook?
Or you're going to try to prove to me you can cook and it's going to be overly fancy and I'm going to have to...
Restaurant.
I'm going to have to... Yeah.
It's not unrealistic for her to turn this down. She is going to Hawaii. She is allegedly going to Hawaii. And I have to assume she has a nice bathing suit. And she's like, I don't think I want to eat, like, stuff myself with mashed potatoes and apple pie when I'm supposed to be, you know, surfside tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So, no. It's no, I will reasonable. Not like that. It's very reasonable. Very reasonable.
So, they go in, and she, of course, stays for dinner because she's a sucker. And so, everyone's, like, in Christmas colors. I don't know why I wrote that down. So, they're having fried chicken, mashed potatoes. Is. Yeah. And she's nibbling one little green bean. Yeah. You know?
And which is so obnoxious that that's what they served her. Like, we're just going to give you some green beans. Like, condescending.
It's ridiculous.
That's all she would eat is a green bean. So she's like nibbling it. So she's like, so you and my mom were friends, Kim? And she's like, oh, not at first. We fell for the same boy. And then it turned out he didn't like either one of us. That was fine.
I did not see that story going there.
It didn't really add. It's like, okay, so basically you thought her mom was a bitch at first.
Like, they really could have done like, oh, yeah, we were interested in this boy. I had a group of friends. Me, your mom. And then the music turns. She's like, B at the bakery. And then this could become like a whole Watcher in the Woods type of thing. And Betty Davis could have shown up. And this movie would have blown up.
Well, I definitely wanted it to end with, like, it turned out he liked someone else. I did fuck your daddy.
Yeah, it was such a strange, like
he had beautiful hands, that man.
Because they kind of, well, this is giving things away, but spoiler alert, when dad comes back at the very end, they have chemistry.
They do.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, totally.
I actually, for a moment, thought, is Kim's her mom, right? Kim's her mom.
I thought for a minute, I'm like, wait, is Noah her brother?
I was hoping for that. I was really hoping for that.
Oh, my God. Why do I have a boner? Must be the weather.
You know what? It's not your fault, Ronnie, because all gay porn does is tell us that incest is best these days.
This makes me feel better about my DT comment. Thank you.
And all tattoos are acceptable.
And listen, straight porn is no better. We've all clicked on the regular Pornhub logo at some point.
Yeah.
Every single... They are disgusting straight people. I'm sorry, straight guys specifically. It's all like, my daughter just got home from school. What the hell? Every single... It's like, grandpa's mad about my report card. Like, ew.
On that note, so we now get some more exposition.
And we do.
Because this entire movie is exposition. They just never finished explaining
things.
So she's like, so how long have you been here, lady who does not accommodate guests and only serves them green beans? And Kim is like, well, when your mom, Sarah, moved off to school in California, she wanted someone she knew to take care of the place. And I don't think she ever really wanted to sell. I mean, so when my late husband and I decided to expand our mint business, she convinced us to move here. It's been our home ever since.
This was some heavy lifting.
This was a lot of heavy lifting. This mint business has been in the family, in the Winter family.
Kim is such, oh yeah, the Winter family. And I like that they pronounce it like winter, but they can't pay their rent. Also, Kim is really manipulative that she's like, you know, your mom, she just never wanted to sell the place. So that's why I'm
she
here.
She never did.
That's why I'm here. Kim.
Following those silly California dreams of hers.
When I think about it, I think kudos to that actor because I think she's the only person that had subtext in this entire film.
Oh, definitely. Right. She's the only one who thought about it. You know, when I'm sometimes in the house by myself at night, I see what I think is your mother.
never. Surely you couldn't sell.
Surely. Would you like a brownie bite? I picked them up today.
It's funny.
Yeah, Reed just pops up from behind the table. Yeah. She's like,
hello.
So so then Noah's like, so what exactly do you do in Los Angeles? And she goes, oh, I'm doing a new partnership with my best friend Gracie. She's going through a really tough time right now. You'll probably meet her. Just disregard her.
I'm gonna tell you all about her, even though you don't know her.
We're developing a line of organic baby products, but my day job is director of marketing for Gallant Resorts.
And he's like, what? Kim, he goes, huh? And Kim's like, what does that mean? Really, Kim?
Come on, really? Kim.
You have a mint business and you don't know.
Well, obviously it's failing because they don't have a marketing director.
I don't think Kim is really into the business again. She's still stuck in the past. So I don't think Kim just wants to fuck her dad.
Yeah. I thought they were going to set up, and they actually didn't, to their credit, they didn't really do this. I thought they were going to set up to one of those things where, like, the lady from the city has that sort of generic corporate job where it's like, what do you do? I don't do anything. Like Richard Gere in Pretty Woman. I don't anything.
Like Chandler,
I'm not real, right? I'm not tangible. I'm not building things, you know?
Did you get it when Dakota, who may or may not be slow, said, hey, do you see celebrities? And so she said, you know, we may have rented a room to Leonardo DiCaprio. Now, if this were real, Dakota would have said, who?
My thought exactly. She'd be like, who is that?
Who's that?
No, but y'all, I'm
sounds
telling you,
old.
People that above like 40 and up in like smaller town, Leo DiCaprio is like because of fucking Gangs of New York and Wolf of Wall Street.
She's 14.
I know, but I'm telling you, because it is the same. I remember when I was in Oklahoma and I was working on my computer, and because I was there for a long time, and one of my dad's friends came over, and my dad said, what's Matthew doing? And my dad said, I've never seen anything like he just types on that thing, and that's work. Beats me.
Listen,
all I could ever see, like, he doesn't get it. Maybe this movie's made for Chelsea, but he does not get it.
Let me tell you something. Funny. Her like trying to impress this teen with a Leonardo DiCaprio reference. That's like us being like in 1984, 85, and someone being like, "Guess who I just saw? Robert Redford." You're like, oh, okay,
yeah,
like, you know, who cares? But also, if she was really like an LA type, she wouldn't be bragging about Leo DiCaprio
because
he's like a huge perv and probably going to be canceled at any moment.
Right.
Forgot, you know, if God knows what.
You know, if she were a professional, she would not be doing this either.
No. You know, once about 3 years ago, we rented a room to Kevin Spacey. It was really impressive. He's a great guy.
A great guy, yeah.
And before that, Ghislaine Maxwell, she's lovely.
So then Molly's like, so what do you guys do here that's causing you to not pay your rent? And Noah goes, oh, well, we host our annual Winter's Mint Christmas Eve party every year. It's a potluck, come one, come all. So first of all, I just want to say, you're behind on your rent. Like, do not be hosting a
Let's
giant
host
potluck.
Let's host a huge party for
also,
the entire town.
There was nothing, when we do finally get to this party, there was nothing about it that said potluck. This was not a potluck that you hosted, sir.
It was like a formal occasion.
And there weren't even a lot of people there. You know what I mean?
It's like you bought stereo equipment. That's what you did.
there wasn't even like accent lighting like you have.
No.
It was so awful.
It was like they set up for a Michael Bublé concert and he never arrived.
Speaking of a Michael Bublé concert, it's time to end this episode.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh wow. We're really killing it, guys.
I think we're now 17 minutes into the
progress.
Movie.
We made some good progress.
I will say most of it is, most of the middle part of the movie is boring exposition still.
You mean the rest of it? It's like the first 20 minutes of everything, and then it just peters out like a bad hand job.
And then it recaps as it goes along. Previously
happened. Unlike a hand job, something good actually happens at the end. Maybe.
Oh my God, I don't like those either. It's just like, stop. I feel like you're pacing me. It's like you're a metronome, you know? Like, stop. Yeah, just lay there. That's all I need. Please don't be listening to this in the car with your children. For those of you who can't join us for the end of this because you have family obligations, they all die. So thanks for being here.
Ree Drummond takes them all.
You guys, thank you for being here. We'll be back tomorrow with another installment of a Candygoat Christmas recap with a little crossover event. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.